All right, let's get into some more of the Texans in a different way. ESPN put out an interesting piece this morning, I think, is when it came out, to be honest. And they went around looking at the NFL's positional group rankings, the best, the worst of these team units. And I thought this could be an interesting way to come back around to the Texans and talk about where they are as a roster and get a feel for how we're feeling about the confidence level that we have in the way that this team is built. Because, I mean, you are less than two weeks away even. August 27th is when the 53-man cutdown day is. And you're needing to figure out where you are in it, how you're navigating all these things. So, with that being the case, you want to just run through these quickly?
I would love to.
Because I've taken a look at them, and there's a general trend that seems to have popped up, and I want to see how quickly it takes you to notice the trend that I saw. I'll focus on the Texans here. Maybe we can circle around and talk about some of the other teams and where they rank in some of these things. So on quarterback, when you talk about the positional rankings, it feels like you're going to lean heavily on the starter, right? Like, that's going to matter a whole bunch. Texans ranked 16th out of 32 teams when they talk about quarterback positional rankings. The best one, Baltimore Ravens, interestingly enough. The shakiest, New Orleans Saints. Are we surprised there?
No, we're not.
And apparently the unit to watch is the Minnesota Vikings, which makes sense with J.J. McCarthy taking taking the baton over from Sam Darnold. Okay, makes sense. Running back, we're starting to get interesting, aren't we? Right, running back core, we're still interested in what that is. Apparently, and of course, I imagine this is made assuming health and those things, the Houston Texans running back room is ranked 13th of 32.
Okay.
With the best one being the Detroit Lions, the absolute worst one being the Dallas Cowboys, and the unit to watch being the Los Angeles Chargers. But the Texans, 13th. And I mean, I imagine that a lot of this is probably name value, right?
Sure.
Mixon obviously giving you a lot of actual tangible production value, but then Nick Chubb, name value, and what production can come from him, I imagine carries a lot of the weight there. Wide receiver. I was super interested to get this one, and I feel like let me allow you to guess here, because I think this one gets interesting. On Nico is clearly 32nd best player in the league, according to his colleagues and his peers. Christian Kirk is a valuable veteran, but then you've got a lot of question marks to some degree.
The question marks is what's going to keep him down. I'm going to say right around where the quarterback room is, 15 or 16.
You're starting to get the trend, 15 for the Texans there.
Yeah.
For tight end, Houston Texans.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
That sound makes me think that you're thinking low. 17th for the Texans.
Really?
17th. Are you sensing the trend that I'm seeing here?
Okay.
Interior defensive line ends up being regarded pretty low, in fact, at 28, which I found that to be surprising. Edge rusher. Now, we're not going to fall in that same trend. Edge rushing is fourth.
That's about right.
The Steelers, the Giants, and the Vikings ahead. Vikings ahead of them feels kind of wild because they're doing a lot of generation.
They did last year.
They did a great job last year, but I was like, okay.
No, that seems about right.
Off-ball linebacker comes in at 21.
Okay.
Which I think we probably feel makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cornerback, second, only to the Baltimore Ravens, who just added into their cornerback room. And then safety, interestingly enough, safety sits at, and of course I lost it, fourth. A lot of love for Kalen Bullock. And then
safety,
obviously you added
fourth.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Now, of course, I imagine this is without injuries.
Yeah.
But you're seeing where a lot of these different places seemingly rank, and a lot of them are in the middle thereabouts. Which of those kind of jumped off the page most to you? Quarterback, really. Okay, why is that?
Quarterback should be probably top 10. To be honest, Davis Mills, one of the best, most proven, started in the game, backup quarterbacks. They're clearly just ranking. They almost, it feels also, not only are they kind of bunched in the middle in a lot of these groups, but they're also putting too much value on just the starting position.
But I think you have to add more value to the starting position because that's going to be a majority of what you get.
All of it.
Not all of it. Not all of it, for sure.
Not all of it. And I think especially at the quarterback position, where, yes, the starter, you have to put a lot of value on how far the quarterback can take your team. But if your starting quarterback goes out, some teams it's like game over. For the Texans, I feel pretty good. Like, if you have to go three or four games without C.J. Stroud, you're going to have a chance, depending on the schedule, in three or four games.
But I feel like we feel that way from this camp, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because was that the case from
last
camp?
You know what?
That's
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, because I don't know if we were singing the same tune about Davis Mills last camp.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But maybe it's a little, you know, recency bias, as Figgy's talking about.
From training camp. And we're doing the training camp narrative for Davis Mills. No,
Davis Mills looked good, man.
If we were going off this list from starting with training camp, mm-hmm. then I would kind of side with Lopez a little mm-hmm. bit, where, you know, I feel like the quarterback room was strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know about last season, though.
Yeah.
Now, the one that jumped out to me was obviously how highly ranked the Houston Texans are at cornerback, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys, there's a number of metrics that you can throw out there, passer rating versus, and, you know, obviously you could just talk about interceptions flat out. When you talk about Derek Stingley Jr., Kamari Lassiter, clearly they've gotten accolades last year. I imagine they're set up for even more accolades as Lassiter even gets more love,
yeah.
more attention, and more opportunity. But interestingly enough, one of the things we came into camp with was talking about the depth at cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to revisit that, because how would we feel about that? Coming off of the joint practice, the Panthers offense was able to do some things and pass the ball around. Now, of course, the safeties played in here, but the cornerbacks were not without their faults, especially when we talk about depth. I mean, I've already gotten to a place where I'm looking at like Jalen Smith, J-Rock as they call him, as possibly the next man up at corner, and he's been solid, but we have not seen him be proven. I mean, you talk about mm-hmm. Tremont Smith and then obviously who's my other Smith there?
Your other Smith.
There's Damon Arnett. There's one more cornerback that I miss. Oh, no, it's Tremont Smith and then Damon Arnett and Jalen mm-hmm. Smith mm-hmm. are kind of some of the cornerbacks in addition to like D'Angelo Ross. How are we feeling about that? Because that does matter. We saw cornerbacks have to be drawn into action, and we weren't happy with it last year.
No, the Panthers, you know, kind of had their way against the second group. You know, I know Seth was talking about it yesterday, a little bit of concern of depth at the cornerback position and something that really, frankly, needs to be proved tomorrow. If you can, you know, how you feel about them. The other thing that is interesting to me is, and maybe this is just my mind working funny, like what if you had to do this list today with where the Texans are?
No, like with straight up
yeah.
injuries and
like
what you're
running
considering.
Running back?
Which of them drops off the biggest? Is it running back or is it safety?
Back. Running back and safety in that order. Like Nick Chubb, you know, who knows, but he seems to be okay. But you don't know anything about what's behind him.
Yeah, and if yeah. Mixon isn't there, I think the big thing that shifts mm-hmm. is the opportunity for explosives, I think, drops a good amount. Mm-hmm. And that really does make the emphasis that we seemingly are seeing on running the football and having that be foundational, it changes it. We mm-hmm. were talking, as you mentioned Seth, we talked to him noon yesterday coming off of the joint practice. And one of the things he talked about is it's hard to tell sometimes
yeah.
if this is going to be 4 yards in a cloud of dust or sometimes 2 yards in a cloud of dust. And those are very different things, mm-hmm. right? Those 2 yards are a gap that is as large as the Grand Canyon at times, because,
sure.
you know, the idea of, hey, we can pick up 4 or 5 every time we run the football with the opportunity of breaking for bigger.
And play calling.
That forces a defense to mm-hmm. do some things mm-hmm. where you're only picking up 2. That then puts you on your heels.
Yeah.
That allows defenses to sit back a little bit, commit their resources differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Joe Mixon ends up being such a linchpin, and you're highlighting why that ends up being an issue. And that's probably why these preseason games matter a little bit more also in the run game, obviously on the offensive line, but also do we have guys that are going to be able to pop runs,
mm-hmm.
especially in instances where maybe you don't have as great a blocking as you want?
No, the running back position to me is absolutely a different animal altogether. Safety would be second. But beyond that, I'm very interested, and this just ties into just sort of what you're looking forward. Go ahead.
Can I hit this with safeties, though? Yeah. Because we did get a text on the text line, 713-572-4610, that said, is it too late to hope for a trade for safety? I don't think it's too late to hope for it. It does feel like they've established what mm-hmm. their game plan is going to be.
They're waiting. I want to see what CJ Gardner-Johnson. I think they know when he's probably going to be back.
Right.
Do it seem like they waiting, or they kind of trust the, what's behind them too?
I think it's a tandem of both. Yeah. I think they feel like,
because they've been kind of known for like trusting
make do.
The players they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can
yeah.
make do.
We got spaghetti at home is basically yeah. what Nick Caseri was telling the rest of the group here. No, I mean, the news that there was not actually a tear in the ACL for CJ Gardner-Johnson
mm-hmm.
was a boon to this, and I imagine that the idea that he could possibly still play in week one or in the earlier weeks of the season helps this. But then you look over and you go, they everything they've said, and of course it's talk, it's coach speak to some degree, and you're not going to bash your guys, has pointed to the idea they believe in MJ Stewart, and then they believe in Miles Bryan, they believe in these guys that they have in the mm-hmm. building to maintain the standard. the question I have is just how capable of that are they, and what does that then do to the defense? Because it did feel like C.J. Gardner-Johnson already was finding such a huge role within what they were doing.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to try to make do at safety. They have in the past. But again, they tried to upgrade. You know, they did upgrade. And so there is a level of concern there. I'm interested in the interior defensive line. I think that's something I'm going to – and this just speaks to what one of the things you're going to kind of keep an eye on tomorrow, especially, you know, with the quote-unquote ones and twos and all that, is what they do on the interior defensive line. Obviously, we've talked about Toji a lot. He seems to be angling his way in there. I think he's
firmly in what he
is. I think he might be.
He's a guy who's just – I think this is also, when you go back to D'Amico calling him the most consistent guy on the team, mm-hmm. I think that speaks volumes. He's not going to have mm-hmm. super high-level play, but he's giving you what he gives you. That's great for a depth guy, and I think that's exactly what he does. But we saw the difference when Toji Ai had to be mm-hmm. your starting interior or your starting nose tackle. I think that the reason why this defensive interior defensive line specifically mm-hmm. is rated, I think underrated, to be honest, by this ESPN situation is I think they look at Folu Fatu Kasi, who has a number of injuries. In fact, physically unable to perform
I'm going to keep an eye on this.
Sheldon Rankins, mm-hmm. who we heard, I mean, we know, he did not play well with the Bengals last year, and it was one of the big questions I had coming in. I was like, is this going to look right?
Yeah.
I think that, one, the culture here is one that fits well for him, but then also what he told us, what he divulged about him dealing with a significant illness for the season, changing the way that he played, I think the hope is that you get a return to what he was prior to that season, because before, even just last season, he was mm-hmm. still very, very good. And then you add Tim Settle, Mario Edwards, the way that they were able to push the pocket and knife up field, and that's got to be better than bottom third interior defense line, even if it's not going to be, you know, Aaron Donald like, or Jalen Carter like, or Dexter Lawrence like mm-hmm. in the middle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. There's still an opportunity to get a little bit better feel on all of these as we get a game tomorrow. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including an update on Andre, the people who tried to take from Andre Johnson. And we'll get that and get ready for a weekend of Astros baseball next.